This is lecture number 5 in Learning to Lead. We've been talking about the lead person, the leader, as somebody who's key in that process of leadership. Now, today we're going to be talking about your mission, understanding God's personal call for you that will help you as a leader. Now, I promise I won't do this every session, but here's the process, the model. You should be able to identify leader, culture, vision, and prayer and planning, and actions to follow. Should be able to understand that, and we've been using this definition for these sessions as well. And again, I won't show that every time. Well, today, what I want to talk about is your personal mission. Last time we looked at, you know, what goes into making you who you are. Well, there's also a sense of personal calling that can come, your personal mission that may be different than those around you. And understanding what God has called you to, what He's equipped you to do, will help you as you look for those places where you're going to lead and where God has called you to lead. And so today I'm just going to outline a process by which you can expand on that story that you wrote, it if you did it in the last session, in order to define what is your life mission. What particular thing does God want you to do in His kingdom? How does that start? Well, it starts where most of us start, with the Bible. There are a variety of places that you can look that will help you meditate on what it means to be somebody who's called to be a leader in the kingdom of God. Jeremiah 1:5, that's where Jeremiah says, you know, or God says to Jeremiah, "Before you were born, I knew you, I loved you, and I called you to be a prophet." Reflect on that in some time alone. What does that mean for you to know that God knew you, He loved you before you were born, and He began to plan out your days? You know, Psalm 139 says all your days were written in God's book before one of them came to be. To reflect on that, and as you have looked at your life experiences and your life story, where has God been moving you toward that purpose that He had for you? Acts 13, or 36, just a short story about David there. And it says that David, when he had fulfilled God's purpose in his generation, fell asleep. He died. Now, think about the story of David. What was God's mission for him? What was his purpose for being on the earth? And when that purpose was fulfilled, he died. Now, sometimes, you know, I have a mother-in-law who's 92 years old at this point, and thankfully she's in good health, but she's had some health scares, and sometimes she came out of them and would say, well, I guess God has a purpose for me yet in my life. Well, according to that passage, you'd say that's probably true. But what would people say about you? You know, if you were to die today, what would people say? Well, that's what God called them to do. I think I know what they would talk to me about in that regard, or say about me in that regard, but what's that like for you? Meditate on Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship. You are God's workmanship. The word could be translated as masterpiece or work of art. You're God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He planned beforehand that we should walk in Him. Meditate on that. That God looks at you as a masterpiece, but He's created these good works that He's setting in front of you. He's created this plan for your life. Where do you see that plan as you look back? Where do you see Him working? And others of these passages are going to be helpful to you as you think about what God's mission is in the big sense about, you know, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, that's part of God's mission. How does that mission, that great commission, impact you? Or John 13, where we're called to serve one another. I've called you to serve, not to be like the people around, the Gentiles who lord it over one another, but to be servants. What does that mean for you? What does the story in Matthew 25 of the judgment mean for you when those who are put on God's right hand are the ones who have given a cold cup of water, who have clothed the naked? What do these things mean for you? Look through the scripture passage and begin these passages, as well as others, And sometimes God will just enliven one. You know, I'm at the stage where now I don't have to go to the office every single day. And so as I was working on this material, I just started to think of what is God's call in my life right now? Now, it hasn't changed greatly. It's changed position. But one of the things that struck me this morning as I was in my own personal devotions was in the book of Philippians. Paul writes to the Philippians about being in jail. He was in jail as he was writing. But he said, I'm hopeful that by your prayers, I will be delivered. This will all work out. And it just struck me how important my prayers are at this stage of my life, at any stage, certainly. But right now, one of the things God's called me to do is pray for some people who are significant leaders in the church, various places in the world. And so I'm taking that on, but it came out of reflecting on Scripture. So here are some passages. You might think of others, but begin to reflect on what God has called you to. The second thing to consider is values that you have. In other words, what's important to you? There are a variety of things that can become important. Further on in this class, I'm going to just give you a seven-step way of identifying the values in an organization and then your own personal values. And so we'll look at this more closely then. But right now, note what it says here. Values are those things that we believe are important. As you think and pray about how God has wired you, list four values that are vitally important to you and shape your decisions. Now here's a list of some things that you might say are very important to you. Health is important to you. Maybe it's financial security, and so you're taking care of yourself financially. Maybe it's your possessions are important to you, or free time, your family, friends, frugality, generosity, etc., etc., etc. What's important to you will affect your life mission. And it's very interesting if you're married that sometimes you'll marry people who have a value that is different from yours. When I look at generosity, I found after we got married, my wife and I dated for 6.5 years and then got married, and it was after we got married that I found out she had the gift of giving. And I did not. And so she was ready with various organizations to give freely and generously, and she had to teach me to be generous, and it became a value for me. But it wasn't originally. But now when I look at my values, when I want to write my life mission, there has to be a generosity component to it. This is something of what God has called me to be with the resources that He has given me. There's a new one that has become something important to me, and that involves people that you admire. Think about two people you've come to admire. The more specific you can be, the better. So write their names down. This is a combination in some senses of values and the people. A person who joined our staff in the last church I served was somebody who had been a high-powered executive in a very large multinational company. And he came to work for us. He was semi-retired and he wanted to keep on working 20 hours a week. And so he took the job of our operations director. And so here's this high-powered man, but I noticed something about him. And one of the things that was just noticeable about him was that anytime there was some event, he would take a servant role. Now, he may have been involved in the conversations that created a program, but when it came to cleanup, for instance, who's out there vacuuming or cleaning dishes or mopping the floor or picking up? This guy was doing it. And I remember talking to him once. I said, you know, I really appreciate the way I see you. He said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I for many, many years, told people what to do. And he said, I realized in this stage of my life, said I had to make a change. And so I'm choosing to be a servant wherever God puts me. I'm going to serve people. Now, that became a value, and I talked about that with him, and I began thinking about that and thinking, wow, that's got to be part of who I am, and part of my life mission has to be a servant, serving God, certainly, but serving His people. And how do I do that? What kind of heart do I do that? What kind of motivation do I do that? And so, you know, as you think about the values, here's some of them. Connect them to people you admire. Who do you admire, and how does that affect your way of looking at yourself and how God may be wiring you? So we look at the Bible study. We look at our values, what's really important to us. We look at people that we admire. And we'll look at our personal strengths and gifts. Your gifts and talents, now spiritual giftedness certainly, but talents, enable you to make a unique contribution to the kingdom. From the list below, or add your own, choose up to 6 personal strengths. 6 things that you say, I do this well. Then ask some people who know you well to describe your gifts. Now here's a listing that you can add to. You know, are you a communicator? Do you do that well? Are you articulate? Are you confident? Are you artistic, diplomatic? And you can read the list. Are you these things? What are those things that you say, yeah, that's me. That's part of my mission in life. I'm called to be this. And then go to some people and ask them to do that. Now, this is very helpful in a variety of ways. I was out of ministry for a year in 2006 and was debating whether to go back into ministry. I had some contact from churches, including the last one I served. And I remember thinking about this, and a friend invited me to preach in his church. I hadn't preached for 7 months. And I was preaching that evening, and it was an obscure passage that he assigned me to preach on. But as I was preaching, I heard the voice of God as clearly as I've ever heard it. And he said, this is what I've created you to do. Go and do it. And so part of my personal mission before that, but since then certainly, has been that God has called me to preach. And so I'm going to seek those opportunities that will allow me to present the Word of God in a compelling way so that people, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can come to faith or grow in their faith. On the other side, I mentored a man years ago who thought he was a great communicator. And so we created a group as he was going to be finished with his time at our church to just help him evaluate where should he be thinking about his next step in his life. He was with us for a year and was going to be launched into some other ministry. What ministry should he be launched into? And so we got a group together to help him evaluate that and talk about that. And basically they said to him, he says, you know, you're not that good a communicator. Where you are really good is when, you know, he was working in our education department. Where you're really good is helping people get together and get the resources that they need and you know, be inspired in that way that they can do their job in our education department. And so that became part of what went into him becoming who he was called to be, his own personal mission. And then another thing is the God-given vision. Vision is the ability to see a preferable future. It's the heartbeat of a personal mission statement. Vision involves your passion. The following statements will help you get at the vision God has given you for your life. Now, here are the statements. The qualities I'd most admire and would like God to work in my life are. So what are those qualities you say, this is what I want God to develop in me. People who know me well believe I am most used by God when I'm involved in what and why. The activities of my life that most contribute to the kingdom of God are and why. And when I hear about passion, the thing that immediately comes to mind is what and why. And if I knew I could not fail in my lifetime, I'd like to do the following for the glory of God. What would that look like? Now, these questions are intended, again, just to help you begin to think about what is your personal mission. What has God called you to? There are a variety of ways to get this done. A few years ago, I had all the staff in the church go through a process of assessment with a consultant that we hire. And he had us do most of these things. He had us sit down and say, you know, when have I felt God's blessing? And just write down those events where I can say, yep, this is when I knew the presence of God, that I was being used by God in a powerful way. And then we each had to get 25 people who had to speak into the process by answering these questions. You know, what would you say is so-and-so's purpose and mission in life? What would you say are their strengths? What would you say are their weaknesses? What would you say to encourage them in the work that they're doing? And that went into the process of helping us all begin to assess, you know, are we serving optimally where we are? What activities are contributing to the kingdom of God? And then that idea of passion, there's sometimes that God will just create a passion in you for something. You know, there are people like Mother Teresa, which, you know, mentioned her before as a great leader. Now, she was a leader who's somebody who led by example. She goes into India, to Calcutta, and begins caring for those who are dying on the streets all alone. This was her passion. It was something that drove her. It was something that helped her overcome obstacles along the way. Her bishop didn't want her to do this, and so refused to let her go. And so you can read her thoughts, her diary, and her letters as she struggles through this. But this was her passion, and so she had to do this. I worked with a man for a year and a half on a staff at a church, and his passion was to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so he began to connect with people all around the community where we were living. And he'd go into their living rooms, and I would go out with him, and I'd be astounded because we all have a responsibility to lead people to faith in Jesus Christ. We all have to know our story, as God tells us in Peter's letter. We have to know our story and be ready to share it. There's a reason for the hope that is within us. But this man would be in a room for 30 minutes, and the two people that we'd be talking to would be on their knees praying to receive Jesus Christ into their life. And I just sat in awe of this. And I realized that part of my purpose in being in that staff with that person was to use my gifts so that they could use theirs more effectively. In fact, when I retired, this good friend came and spoke at my retirement party and just said, you know, one of the things I've always appreciated is that you, because you were going to be leading, because you were going to be out front, you made space so that I could do my job. And that became part of my mission statement. I'm here to help others be free to find their God calling. So all of these kinds of things are what go into it. So the personal mission statement, you can say, by God's grace, this is what I am. Put whatever you want of what we looked at these two sessions in there. This is what I am. I am this kind of person. I have this kind of personality. He has called me to become. What are those things that God is pulling me toward? And He has called me to serve His kingdom by. What does that look like for you? Knowing these things and having that mission statement will help you as you evaluate how you're going to lead, but also where you're going to lead. Is it consistent with God's mission in your life? Now, the mission may change at various times. God could call differently. But today, He's got a calling for you. Something He's put maybe in your heart. He's given you a passion to see something happen in the kingdom. What does that look like? Where is it going to be expressed? Knowing this will help you be an effective leader in the kingdom as you learn to lead.